Turn with me to Philippians. God is really good. You know it. If you're in this place this morning, you have doubts about the goodness of God. I am telling you, He is good and He is present and He is real. And if there's anything if you would let us talk to you, just come, you know, when you're leaving, just say, Pastor, I don't believe some of that stuff you said. But let me just talk with you some. Just let me talk. Let's, in fact, it doesn't have to be me. Lots of people love to talk to you about Jesus. Standing firm in the Lord. That's what our sermon title is this morning. A little change from the bulletin. And so look with me in Philippians 3. We're going to start in verse 20. For our citizenship is in heaven. You think we take for granted our citizenship as Americans? So where's Kate at? Is Kate in here today? Oh, well, I was going to ask Kate to tell us if she took her citizenship for granted. Tell us about Kate's citizenship. Here's a microphone for you. I'm going to let you just give us a little testimony, brother.
We're going to change our sermon. Turn to Revelation, please. Kate went... our two daughters went, my mother and father-in-law went, and I went, and it was special in that the judge that swore Kate and the others in.
So she wasn't born in America.
Kate, my wife, was born in Manila, Philippines. And she grew up there, and she did not come to America until she went to seminary in Louisville, Kentucky. And she was about 25. So up until then, she spent her first 25 years in Manila, Philippines. So she was not born in America.
Thank you, brother. Go right ahead.
Thank you.
I just want to clarify that.
when he was swearing us in... swearing Kate, and I was born in America.
Yeah, thank you for clarifying that. I wasn't sure.
At 1:56 in the morning, and he said basically, this is a gift. I mean, some people are born here. You all are so. I want you to know what a blessing it is for you all. I can't remember the exact words.
That's okay.
But it was something to the extent
I got the gist of it.
God has blessed America, and I am so thankful that you are now going to be a part of it. This judge talked about God for a little while. What I heard about the courts and what's been going on in America lately in the court system, God is not mentioned, God is not brought up, but he said, he goes, in America, you're not promised everything, but you will be given an opportunity just like everybody else. We were so grateful that he mentioned God, and Kate felt all the more special for it.
Does she appreciate her citizenship?
Very much.
Did she have to study for it or anything, or she just showed up?
Who here knows what the 49th state to come in? What was the 49th state?
Alaska.
And I had to really think and flip a coin to get Alaska. She had to really study. It wasn't who was the first president. There was studying involved.
Okay. All right. Now, why did I ask Kate to do that? You know what? I know that's Ken. Why did I ask Kate to do that and Ken stood in for her? Do you think we take for granted our citizenship in heaven? I mean, think about it. You know, we are blessed. We come into this church and we don't have to worry about whether it's the air conditioner is going to be on in here. We don't have to worry about Jesus is going to be talked about in here. Most of us know that if we've been born again, we know that on the last moment that we're on this earth, that next moment, we're going to be greeted by a precious Lord Jesus in heaven. Okay? And here's the problem, though, is I think sometimes we can take our citizenship in heaven for granted. You know, it's like with Kate. Kate had to do a lot of study. 49th state, okay. You know, she had to do a lot of study to become a citizen of America. But think about you and I as believers. Okay, think about it, okay? Would you say that it is your mindset, you have an intention in your heart that is evidenced by your daily walk, would you say that you have an intention to grow as a citizen of the kingdom? Okay, now I don't want you just to say yes. I want you to think about it. And I'm just going, you know, it's so hard because sometimes I just feel like I'm needling you. You know what? How many of you signed up for Lifeline and stopped coming? I thought I just heard you say yes a minute ago.
No, I didn't.
Oh, okay. How is it, okay, just stay with me. How is it that if it's our intention, we would say, it sort of flows. Is it my intention to grow? Oh, yeah, it's my intention to grow spiritually. Well, what are you growing spiritually? I dropped out. How? Well, you know, I don't know why. See, here's our dilemma. God is calling us as a church to grow. He's calling us to grow spiritually. We are citizens of the kingdom. But growth does not take place in the spiritual growth does not take place in the same way that, for example, physical growth is. I have learned that all I've got to do is show up at the table regularly, and I'm developing something right here. I've learned that, and as much as I try, I can't seem to stop this from happening. I don't know if it's a part of my age or part of my diet, but I've noticed that spiritually, it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. So then, what does it mean for you to be a citizen of the kingdom? In the Lifeline class, in the music Lifeline class this morning, I was in that class, and I thought Sherry did something really good. She said, do you see the elephant in the room? Well, the elephant in the room was that those who were in the class didn't do their work. They didn't spend time with God to go through the lesson. She said, you know, I think, why don't we just talk about that? Let me ask you a question. What would it take for you to change your mindset about spiritual growth this morning? What would you do? What would you have to do? I mean, if we got real, you know, get rid of the fluff. Get rid of the pretension. Just get rid of the... What would we say as a church? Okay? Let's suppose this church comes to a point where they say, you know what? We're going to grow spiritually. What would it take for us to make that decision? Because here's sort of where I'm at. I'm talking to you, pushing here, pushing here, and there's an elephant in the room. What do you think? what would you say? We as a church decided, you know what? I'm going to grow. Here's why the Apostle Paul says we need to. Verse 20 says it's because you are a citizen of the kingdom. Look at verse 1 of chapter 4. Bob, go check and see if Bob Scarborough is okay. Okay, chapter 4, verse 1. He says, therefore, in other words, because you're citizens of the kingdom, here's what I want you to do. He says, my beloved brethren, whom I long to see, my joy and crown, so stand firm in the Lord, my beloved. Stand firm in the Lord. In other words, okay, think about it, church. Okay, if we want to grow spiritually, how would we do that? He starts right out of the gate. He says, here's how we do it. We stand firm in the Lord. Now, here's what he's talking about. That word we looked at a couple chapters before in the first chapter. And it's a word that has this meaning. It's what a soldier does if there is a coming attack upon him. And what his assignment is his assignment is he's got an area that he is responsible for. He's got an area that he's responsible for. Okay, husbands in this room this morning, the Lord has said that as men of God, you are the spiritual leaders of your home. That's your ground. Okay? That's the ground that God has given you personal responsibility for. No soldier given a responsibility. No, is he okay? Is everything okay? Anna has a cousin in Spain. Young woman that has struggled, and she just committed suicide. Let's pray. Father, I lift up Anna right now. I lift up her sister in Spain. I pray in the name of Jesus that you'd surround the family even now as they begin the process, the difficult process of grief. Father, I know there have been previous close calls with this young lady. And I know the family has reached out to her, even from America, Father, across the ocean to try to help her. And so I just pray in Jesus' name that you would bring comfort to Anna and bring comfort to Bob and just bring comfort to the whole family. You know, Father, at times like this, I don't know how people do it without the Lord. I don't know how they do it. So I just pray in Jesus' name for the presence of your Holy Spirit. Help them in arrangements and getting to Spain and all these sort of things, Father. We'll give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, men, Bible says, you are the spiritual leader of your home. Spiritual leaders, what that means, guys, is when you get up in the morning, your children need to see you on your knees. They need to see you with your Bible open. They need to see you on time at church. Brother, I get to make another example of Brother Hank. Stand up again, Brother Hank. Turn around. Turn around and let everybody see you. Will you look at how he is dressed? I mean, I cannot believe Hank doesn't have a tie on. Houston Astros, you go to the ball game or something? Oh, is that your little league team?
Little league.
And you got Bermuda shorts on in here. Well, why is that?
Party outfit.
Have you been somewhere this morning?
Yes. We had our pictures taken, and then we were in a competition.
Oh, so you mean that after you had your pictures taken, you saw fit to come to church?
After George got paid.
Okay. Okay, you can sit down now, Brother Hank. What am I doing here? You know what he could have done? Yeah. Let's go home and take a break. I know, Jordan. Let's go have a picnic. Men, is it not true? Most times the ladies lead spiritually. Now, praise the Lord, it's not always that way. But when it comes to the things of God, do you take the lead in your home? Here's what the Word says. He says, stand firm. It's your ground. This is your ground. I want you to stand firm. Now, why would you do that? Why? This Word has this meaning. There's something coming against you that isn't going to be good. Life is going to take, for all of us, life takes the wrong turns. You know, this ain't heaven. And on this earth, life is going to take the wrong turn. It's just that we live in a fallen world. And so things are not going to go the way you want them to go. And so what does the Apostle Paul say, writing from prison to a church that is in the midst of persecution? He says, stand firm. Why do you need to stand firm? Because life around you is going to get hard, and you need to stand firm. The sense is that what he's saying is, lean into the wind, men. Lean into the wind, children. Lean into the wind, because what's going to happen is there's going to be hard times. Now, why should we as a church decide that we are going to grow spiritually? Because you know what? This ain't heaven. How much did you pay for gas this past week? A gallon. How much? $3.55? $3.60 going? You got a $3.65 going once, going twice. Let me ask you a question. What if a year from now we're paying $10 a gallon? What are we going to do? Okay, you're right. We're going to press on. But here's the problem. Here's the deception. The deception is we'll just hold on. That's not what Paul's meaning here. What he says is, church, stand firm in the Lord. He doesn't just say stand firm. See, stand firm would say, you know, I'm going to just bear up. Oh, no. Why does it matter whether you and I grow spiritually? This ain't heaven. Time's getting tough. So what does the Lord say? Stand firm in the Lord. Stand firm in the relationship. Stand firm in who you are. Who you are in Jesus Christ. The Bible says, see, that's the thing that's so beautiful. God doesn't just say, hey, buck it up, buddy. Pull yourself up by the bootstraps, lady. No, he says, stand firm in the Lord. The Bible says that if you placed your faith in Jesus Christ, you are a son of God. A son. The reason why he uses the word son rather than sons and daughters is because the sons receive the inheritance. And so when the Bible says you are a son of God, what it's trying to help us to see is that there is a relationship between you and I and Jesus Christ, such that when we stand firm in the Lord, we don't stand alone. We stand firm in the relationship of a loving father to his child. And that relationship is such that whatever comes my way, God says, it's got to go through his hands first. Now, some of you may be saying, well, Pastor Kip, you know, if everything's got to go through God's eyes or God's hand before it comes to me, how come such and such bad thing happened to me? Well, a lot of times bad things happen to us because God allows people to exercise their free will to spit in his face if they so choose, and you and I become innocent victims of others' mess. It was certainly not God's will for that woman, for Bob's niece to take her life this morning. That's not God's will. Sin is never God's will. And people are impacted when you and I freely choose to disobey God and walk outside of his will. So what does he say to help us not to do that? He says, stand firm in the Lord. Stand firm. That means that you and I, God's saying, you need to be grounded in me. You need to be grounded and growing in me. If I am grounded in Jesus Christ, that means this book becomes my guide. And it means that I can't grow apart from it. Why did I ask you something a minute ago about Lifeline? Right here. Right here. You know what? You cannot grow if you're not in this book. Lifeline is simply an opportunity for you to grow. Okay, here we go. Let's keep going. We got to be grounded and growing in the Lord. We're standing in the Lord. Then he says, it's interesting to me because he's going to talk about standing firm. Then he says something very interesting. He says, in the second verse, he says, I urge Euodia and I urge Syntyche to live in harmony in the Lord. Indeed, true comrade, I ask you also to help these women who have shared my struggle in the cause of the gospel, together with Clement also and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Notice what he says. There are two women who are having trouble getting along in the church. These women know the Lord. It says that they shared in the struggle of the Apostle Paul together. They shared in the struggle of the gospel together. That means that they had sort of spiritual sweat equity together. Yet here we have two individuals in the church that are in disharmony. And what does he say to the church? Does he say to the church, okay, church, go find out who's right? Is it Euodia or Syntyche? No, he says, help Euodia and Syntyche be reconciled. Why does he do that? Okay. If you have received Jesus as your Savior, your name is in that book of life. You know what that means? That means that you are going to live forever. And guess what? At some point, all of us are going to be in heaven. And who do you think we're going to be living with? One another. You realize that? We're going to be living with one another forever. Well, don't you think because we're going to be living with one another forever, we ought to be able to get along? Now, it's not like we're not getting along now. That's praise the Lord. I'm glad to hear that. But what he's saying is, he says, here's how we stand firm in the Lord. We grow spiritually, and then what happens is we relate to one another in the body of Christ. In other words, God expects you and I to have relationships in his body. He expects us to invest in those relationships. That's the difficulty we have in churches today in the modern world, is we come and we spend an hour and a half on a Sunday morning together and we wonder why we don't have relationships. Can't work that way. Now see, we are to receive power from relationships. We receive strength from relationships in the body of Christ. That's why the Apostle Paul says, hey, Judea and Syntyche, how about you guys help these ladies to get along? It's your responsibility, church. I don't care who's right or wrong, he says. Why does he not care who's right or wrong? Because what's most important to him is the health of the church and the health of the individuals. He says to you and I to love one another in Christ. And so nothing should be more important than our relationships. So what we have to decide as a church is whether or not we're going to build them. See, we have to decide whether or not we're going to grow. We have to decide whether or not we're going to build relationships. You got to decide whether or not you separate the distance between you. I can't do that. God can't do that. You have to participate with God in that. And that's what he says. He says, I want you to stand firm in the relationships that I'm providing around you, because this ain't heaven. You need relationships. That's what he's talking about. Notice this next thing he says. Look down here at verse number 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension or understanding, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Notice how it starts. It says, verse 6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication. What is supplication? What is that? What did you say? Asking. In everything. What is everything? Everything. Everything's everything, and asking is asking. So what is he telling us? Asking about everything, isn't he? Do you ever think that you have requests that are too incidental for God? You ever think that you know, somebody else's problems are more important than yours and God can only handle so many of them? I've actually had people tell me that. They say, well, I don't know about taking all these requests to God. I mean, he's got too much to deal with. Actually, someone told me that one time. No, the Bible says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to bring every single thing to me. Why would God do that? Particularly when Matthew 6 says, God knows every request you have even before you know you've got it. He knows what it is. He says we're supposed to bring it to him anyway. Why would that be? It's for us. It's for us and our relationship with God. We are sons of God. We're sons of God. We grow in Christ. We are to pray in Christ. We're to be a praying church. You know what? This past Thursday, you know what? We probably had 60 people for prayer, National Day of Prayer? 60 people coming in this church throughout the whole day, different times during the day, praying about our country and our land. God wants us to be a praying church, even far beyond what we are. He said, I want you to pray about everything. And you know what he promises? I can't believe this. I can't believe he promises this. This doesn't make sense to me. Peace. Peace? The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Let me ask you a question. How is it possible, if I'm in the midst of not having enough money to pay my mortgage, how am I going to have peace? How would that be possible? Doesn't that tell you the presence or absence of peace? Doesn't that tell you what you believe about God and His faithfulness to carry you through? Doesn't that say that? Now, where it says He will give you peace, it will guard your heart. It's like, you know, we talked a minute ago about standing firm. You know, it's like a soldier stands firm on a hill. You know what that says? It says God's Spirit stands firm in your heart, around your heart. Why? Because I believe in this God who knows I exist, who knows everything that happens in my life, is not going to let anything come into my life He doesn't first see. And He's going to provide me a way through it and in it. You know, don't for a minute think that I'm standing up here as one who doesn't know what loss is all about. A year ago, I lost my grandson. I know what pain's like. And I know what the peace of God is like. He says, peace. He says, bring me your request. Bring them to me. And believe. You ever been at a point in your life that you're so low that you couldn't believe God? You know, if you're in the mortgage business right now, that's a bad business to be in right now. If you're in sales right now, that's a tough place to be. You may have a hard time believing God. You know what you do? Relationships. You find a relationship who can believe for you. And you yoke up with that relationship. And you say, you know what? I need somebody to voice a prayer and believe. I need somebody to voice a believing prayer for me. Because I just can't seem to get there. Your faith matters to God. Look in the Gospels when Jesus goes to, just a moment more, when Jesus goes to His hometown to heal, you know what happens? Jesus goes into His hometown, and here's what the people say. And Jesus begins to pray over people and apparently do miracles. And here's what the text says. The people said, is this not the carpenter's son? Is it Mary, his mother? Aren't his brothers Joseph and so-and-so and so-and-so and his sisters? Who does he think he is? And do you know the amazing thing that the text says next? It says, and Jesus could do no miracles there except heal a few sick people. You see, what you believe about your prayers makes a difference in the extent to which God's Holy Spirit is empowered. It is almost as if the fuel of your prayers is your faith. Now, don't misunderstand me. We can never faith God into doing something that's outside of His will. We can never do that because then we would be God. No, but the Scripture says that believing prayer is essential to the movement of God's Holy Spirit. And here's the last thing. Just going to take me 60 seconds, I promise. Here's what it says. Look at what he says. Finally, brethren, verse 8. Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things. Well, is it not true? Let something go wrong, and what is it that our mind is going to dwell on? Why did God let this happen? What else? What am I going to do? What else? Is it not true? Pity party. Is it not true that what we do is we start playing the tapes? We start playing the tapes and everything just goes worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. We start playing the what if game. What am I going to do if this happens? What am I going to do if this happens? And that happens. And this. You know what? No wonder we absolutely become consumed with our anxiety. Because our natural predisposition is to dwell on the bad things. Here's what he's saying. You know what I want you to do? He says, God says, No, I want you to count your blessings. I want you to dwell on the good. Dwell on what I have done. Dwell on what I've done in Christ, what I'm going to do in your life. You dwell on the good things, and now the peace of God's going to lift you up. Hey, church, what do you think? What do you think? What do you think about growing? Well, I wonder if you could agree with me. You know what? I'm going to stop playing church. I'm not going to do it anymore. Right now, I'm going to choose by an act of my will. Tomorrow morning, I'm going to start the day with Jesus Christ. I'm going to grow. I'm going to do that. I'm going to pray. I'm going to relate. I'm going to find relation. You understand what I'm saying? What would it take us to say, you know what? This is what I'm going to do. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you would bless our intentions. I pray you'd cause our intentions to become our behavior. It's like the Apostle Paul as he writes to the church at Philippi. 3 years later, the Apostle Paul is martyred. Persecution of Christians begins under Nero. Things were getting to be really bad for the church at Philippi. It was at that specific time that you gave that message. You knew what tomorrows were going to bring. You knew that the people of that church needed to be strengthened, and the only way they could be strengthened was if they stood in the Lord. God, that's where we are. In our economy, in our schools, it's not really a very hopeful day unless our hope is in you. Unless we stand in you, depend on you, relate to one another in you, support one another in prayer, in Bible study, in fellowship. It's like you're giving your church an opportunity to get back up off the ground. Start finding our Savior, falling in love with Jesus again. I pray, God in heaven, that today, this place, we change our minds. And be intentional about what it means to be a citizen of heaven. I'm going to invite you to come forward right now. If you're ready to make that decision, I'm inviting you to come forward and kneel at the front of this church. Right here in this front, you just kneel and you say that before the Lord. As you come, I'm inviting the musicians to come and lead us. But I want us to, if you are ready, if you're saying, God, I'm coming to you. I'm deciding to do that. I'm deciding to grow. I want you just to make your way to the front. You pray. If you want me to help you, I will. You just come as we sing. Let's stand now. You come in the name of Jesus Christ. Bless this time, Holy Father. We give it to you in Jesus' name.